seated.
Amen. There you are, Tina Grace. I was looking for you. You would sometimes sit over here for some reason. Never? Never on that side. Okay. Well, anyway, there you are. I'm glad. Amen. Very, very good. All right. Jeremiah. Probably be helpful if we got to Jeremiah chapter 11 is where we shall be. Jeremiah chapter 11. Amen. Jeremiah has been preaching what seems to be a similar message to the same people. The people of Judah, the people of Israel. And as Jeremiah is preaching, we will get some insight to some other things that are taking place that Jeremiah hasn't shared with us yet through the first 10 chapters. We know typically when we speak of Jeremiah and we speak of this prophet, we will often refer to him as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah had a great, great burden for the people of Israel and the people of Judah. He wanted them to come back to God, just as God wanted them to come back to Him. And Jeremiah did not want to see these people have to go through a horrible time of judgment. But yet they would not listen. And yet, even in their not listening, we find Jeremiah continuing to preach and to preach the same message. We know that Jeremiah preached for nearly 41 years. And in many of these years, preaching again the same message, come back to God. And in Jeremiah chapter 11, the message hasn't changed yet. But yet in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice." If you're in the habit of marking and underlining in your Bibles, that would be a good phrase to underline. Obey my voice. "And do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform this oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it, Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice." There's that phrase again. "Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. The Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in their time of trouble. For according to the number of cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee. For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showedest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. There shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Again, two times here, God told Jeremiah that he has told the children of Israel, obey my voice. Obey my voice, he said. And in verse number 8, he said, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. And then we see God saying a couple of times that he was going to bring evil upon them. We're going to make some comments on these verses and try to make some explanation as to what is taking place here in Jeremiah chapter 11. But let's pray as we get started tonight. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for how you move in lives. Father, you give opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for us to hear, for us to listen, for us to come to you. You have given us such a wonderful privilege of being your children. You, our Heavenly Father, our God, in whom we serve. But Father, just as these people in Israel and these people of Judah, we often fail thee. And Father, I pray tonight, that as we see these happenings of the day in which Jeremiah preached these words, Father, may we set a note upon our heart that we would strive to be more like Jeremiah than the people of Judah and the people of Israel. And God, may we be more like Jeremiah as we observe the culture in which we live. And Father, while we know that many may not hear and many may reject, God, there are still those that will cry out to you, that will allow your Son to make a difference in their lives. May we be faithful in giving the word of the gospel, for we know it is the power of you unto salvation. Help us in all of this, for it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray and that we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. Well, we see four things within this chapter. Jeremiah again is continuing to preach the word that the Lord bids him. And so we see the first portion here as we see the proclamation of the prophet. Within these first few verses, Jeremiah, one of the things that we must take note of as Jeremiah is preaching these words and Jeremiah is preaching these messages, he is rehearsing what God has told him. He is proclaiming what God has spoken to him, which means that Jeremiah is being spoken to first. It is really hard for us, and we need to take special note and special attention to this, that as we walk with God, it's really, really hard to get to the place where the men of Judah were and the men of Israel were when we walk with God, as Jeremiah walked with God. You see, Jeremiah was in tune with God. Jeremiah was in contact with God. And so when he is sitting here and he's seen, when God says in verse number 3, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant." I mean, I will tell you that as a preacher, there are some sermons that that we look at, and as a preacher that we say, hey, you know, I'd rather not preach that one. But when the message that's coming to the preacher, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, guess what? You're probably going to stand up and preach even if you don't want to. I don't want to be cursed. And so as God is delivering this message to Jeremiah, as difficult as it was, Jeremiah is learning the message and learning these things first, that obedience is the key. We talk about an all over the place, one of the most given responses of people. I mean, just if you want to, go through and do a little survey on your own. You can do it to people that you know. You can do it to people you don't know. But if you go around and you just start asking people, hey, do you want to live a happy life? Would you like to live a happy life? Most people, unless there's like a screw loose or something, most people will respond with, yeah. But now here's the question. How many people do you think know what it takes to live a happy life? How about beyond that? How many Christians know what it takes to live a happy life? You see, in our flesh and in our culture, in our world, and in the battle that we have with the devil and Satan himself, he tells us and he perpetrates in our mind this idea that if you get as much of what you want in your life, you will be happy. Getting what I want makes me happy. Until you want something else. Or how about this one? When I want something that I can't get. Can't have that. Then you go through my life, and people go through their lives searching and longing for a happiness that is available. And it's simply available by obeying God. And as Jeremiah is proclaiming these things, God says, "Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I command your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace," saying, very simple phrase, "Obey my voice and do them according to all that which I command you, so ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now take note of this as well. This is multiple generations removed from the land of Egypt. The message has not changed. Obey my voice. The message didn't change when Jesus came. If you love me, keep my commandments. The message didn't change. It hasn't changed today. If we love God and we want to be happy in life, just obey what He says. Now, I know there's much that we could go through and we could debate and we could go back and forth as to what did God say. It's not usually what God says that we have much of a problem with or that we debate. Usually where it comes down to is, what did God mean? Right? Well, I know God said this, but is this really what He meant? Here's one thing I personally have found about God, that God meant what He said and said what He meant. Obey my voice. I really don't know how this proclamation could be any clearer. And yet God gave it to Jeremiah, and here he is going through. And I love the phrase here, and this is what really drew me in to Jeremiah obeying, because God told him that if you don't obey, it's going to be cursed. Now, he wasn't necessarily telling Jeremiah that, but Jeremiah picked up on it. He was a smart guy. Obey my voice. And they that don't obey my commandments and obey my voice, cursed. Verse number 5, he says, "That I may perform the oath which I swear unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I," that's Jeremiah, "and said, so be it, Lord." We need to be so be it Christians. God said it, so be it. Amen. But yet we get so caught up in this proclamation that we really just need to get to it and obey. And I want you to notice, as God gives this message again to Jeremiah, God says, "Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them." Now this is God speaking here, as he says in verse number 7, "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying," once again, "obey my voice." Now, two times here in verse number 7, God said, "I earnestly protested unto your fathers," and then he said, "even unto this day, rising early and protesting." Now, when we think of protesters, we think of the picket signs. We put them on our hands, we put words all over it, and we stand outside of a building or wherever, and I don't know what you say in a protest, I've never been in one, but you know, they march around and they herald the signs, and sometimes it's labor unions, sometimes it's crazy wacko Baptist churches. Can we say that? They go around and all of that, but yet they're protesting against something. But here is God saying, "I've protested against this." He says, not that God was standing out there with picket signs or anything like that, but basically what he was saying is, "I'm in opposition to this. I'm against this. And I'm protesting the fact that you're doing this." And we see this protest against the disobedience of Judah. In verse number 8, as God is protesting, saying, "Obey my voice," I mean, if God was going to go with a picket sign, that's exactly what it would say. Obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. And I don't know if there's any clever way we can say that, but it would be very simple. Obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. I've told you what to do. Obey my voice, obey my voice. But they didn't. They didn't. And now listen, this is God talking about not just these people in Judah and these people in Israel. He's talking all the way back to the people that walked with Moses. Remember, when God called them out of the land of Egypt, He said, obey my voice. He said, I'm going to take you into a land that floweth with milk and honey. But yet in the first few days of the journey, they didn't obey the voice of God. And God said, fine, 40 years. Until all you people die in the wilderness. Because you're not going. Because they didn't obey. They didn't obey. And God's protesting. And now here we are, generation after generation after generation. And God is still protesting against what the people are doing because they're not obeying. And we can go through and we can see all of the ways that they are not obeying, and God lays a pretty good case out there. The idolatry in which they were in, the lewdness in verse number 15, notice what he says here. He says, what hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many? Now look, we've already looked at this in previous chapters, but God is pretty serious about what takes place in His house. And here we find again the lewdness. And now I know we've already covered this. I'm going to preach that message again, but I want to remind you because God's bringing it up again. We would say in our minds that no, we wouldn't do these things in God's house. But how many of you have forgotten already that we are God's house? The lewd things that you and I do, no, we would never do them in the church house. But we are the church. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And here he is again saying, they've wrought lewdness with many. And the holy flesh is passed from thee. When thou doest evil, even thou rejoicest. So they're not rejoicing over good things. They're rejoicing over evil things. And so we see this protest against the disobedience. We see the proclamation of the prophet as he's proclaiming these things. But here is something that honestly at first glance can be a little disturbing. The Bible says in verse number 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. We see the pronouncement of evil upon Judah. That God said, I will bring evil upon them. Now, there is some understanding that we've got to lay out here because in verse number 11, he says, he hath pronounced evil against thee for the evil of the house of Israel. Now, we have a certain understanding of what is evil, don't we? Within this understanding of evil, it is possible that we might have to broaden our understanding of evil. Because we might think, okay, how can a holy God bring that which is evil upon these people? When we think of evil, we typically think maybe like demonic possession or demonic activity and certain activities that we would go in that we would say, oh, that's evil. And that is evil. That is, again, one definition of evil is something that has bad qualities. But when we consider what this word means, when God says He's going to bring evil, the understanding that we have to have here is that God is bringing something that is going to be unfortunate to the children of Judah. He's going to bring something that is going to be unhappy. He is going to produce sorrow and distress and calamity, which is a great misfortune and misery. If we could sum it all up, God is saying when he says, "Behold, I will bring evil upon them, and they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." What God is saying, if we could summarize it here, God is saying, "I am about to make these people miserable." You ever said that before? Maybe a wife to a husband, or a husband to a wife, or maybe a parent to their children. "Look, you better straighten up right now, or I'm about to make your life miserable, son. It's about to get real." There's another way we could say that. "I'm about to bring some evil upon you." It's about to get real up in here. That's what God said. He said, "I'm going to bring evil upon you." Again, summarize it in our vernacular day. It's not necessarily a use that we use, but what God is saying is, "I'm about to make you miserable. When you cry unto me, I'm not going to listen." I never understood this when I was a child and I would get a spanking. And my dad would let me cry for about 3.5 seconds. And then he'd say, "Dry it up." Did your dad say that? Your dad did? Yeah. Matt, did your dad ever say that? "Dry it up, boy." Well, it's been that generation. I know your dad said that. Oh, yeah. Did your dad say that?
Mom and dad.
Mom. "Dry it up. I'm not listening to that crying." Right? Not listening to that. You see, we have to remember, God says, "I'm about to make you miserable, and I'm not listening to any crying about it either." You can cry all you want. You know, put them in the corner. Cry all you want. You're not getting out until I say you're getting out. This is, a spiritual corner. It's about to get a little more real than a corner or a spanking. God is saying, "Obey my voice, do right, or I'm about to make your life miserable." We see the pronouncement of evil upon Judah. And you can look that up all you want. That's what it means: unfortunate, unhappy, producing sorrow, distress, injury, or calamity. That's evil. So when we think about that, when we read that, I hope you can read that now and understand that God is not talking about something evil or wrong. God, we know that God is a just God. We know that when God judges, He judges justly. And so when we read that again, at first glance, we might say, "Oh, wow, why would God do that?" But when you understand that, it really just means they're about to be miserable because they haven't obeyed God. And God has had enough. That's what we must remember, is God has had enough. And this isn't something as far as God just having enough and God being impatient with them and all of that. No. God has been very long-suffering with them. God has given them opportunity after opportunity to come back to Him. He has said, "Obey my voice, obey my voice." And they will not hearken. And God's finally saying, "That's enough. It's about to get miserable in here." And then he lays out the case. In verse number 12, he says, "Then shall the cities of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in their time of trouble." There is a time when a father can get a correction over a child where he can say, "You can go to your mother, but she won't save you." Amen. It's not going to happen. You're going to get it. You can run all over the place, but there's nothing that's going to be able to save you from what is coming in your misery, because you didn't obey. Now in this, we know a mother loves their child, but in this we know, man, they're running to Baal. Look what he says here in verse number 13. It says, "For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods." Little g. "Oh, Judah, according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal." You, listen, You could not go down a street in Jerusalem and not find an altar to Baal. That's how far they'd gotten. And he says, that's enough. I've had it. It's evil coming upon you. He pronounced this evil in verse number 17 again. For the Lord of hosts, that planted tree, hath pronounced evil against thee. For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against, notice this, which they have done against themselves, to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. And then verse number 18, and the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it, that thou showedest me their doings. Behold, I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut them off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered, or that his name may be no more remembered. But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. So here's what's taking place. Jeremiah has been preaching. Jeremiah has been bidding the message that God has given to him to give to the people of Israel, to give and preach at Jerusalem. Well, about 3 miles northwest, northeast, somewhere kind of up to the right of Jerusalem, is a city of Anathoth. And in this city, we can read here, as they say in verse number 21, they told Jeremiah, they said, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. So here's what these men are saying. Jeremiah, it's time for you to shut up. Don't prophesy in the name of the Lord anymore, or we're going to kill you. You will die by our hand. It's that simple. Now, I've lived 39 years, and I have yet to have a serious death threat against me. I mean, sisters don't count. But I've not had a serious death threat against me. But I will tell you, if I open up the mailbox tomorrow, well, Tuesday, mail doesn't run tomorrow. If I were to open up the mailbox on Tuesday and there was a letter in there that said, hey, I really don't appreciate that message you preached on Sunday. You preach that again, I'm going to kill you. Signed, whoever. I'd be nervous. Or it may even be signed, a loving sheep. You know? Because usually those types of letters they don't sign their name. But I just tell you, I would come in next Sunday and I'd be real nervous as to who sent that. Hopefully it wouldn't be anybody in the Sunday night crowd, but you never know. Didn't like that message that you've been preaching. You've been a little harsh on us. You preach that way again, and we're going to kill you. I'm just saying, I would be nervous. If I'm being real and transparent here, I would be really, really nervous. Jeremiah, I think he was nervous. And he was so nervous that he went to God, and notice what he says in verse number 18. He says, the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. Then he describes in verse number 19 as this lamb or ox that is brought to the slaughter. And he says, I know not that they have devised devices against me. He says, I didn't know what they were doing. He says, but God has revealed this to me. And they're saying all of these things, that he be no more remembered. But verse number 20, he says, "But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee I have revealed my cause." So Jeremiah goes to God and he's saying, "God, they want to kill me." Now this, we know this didn't catch God off guard. It didn't catch him by surprise. God already knew this. But Jeremiah says, "God, if there's any way you could help me out in this, I would really, really appreciate it. If you would see my cause in this, I've revealed it to you. And therefore saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life." And again, their words, "Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation." So we see the proclamation of the prophet. We see the protest of God against the disobedience of Judah. We see the pronouncement of evil upon Judah. And we see the promise of judgment against the children. Now get this. These were the children of Aaron. We talked about Aaron a little bit this morning. He was the high priest. And in that role of the high priest, it was something that was passed down. When we see later, we see the Levites, or the Levitical priests, were in the line of Aaron. When they came into the promised land, this tribe, this section of Benjamin, was given the city of Anathoth. In this city that they were given, this is where they dwelt. Now you say, why is all of this significant? Well, it's all significant because these were the religious people in the day. These were the religious people that knew, were supposed to know anyway, the law. These were the spiritual ones, if you will. And I'll just tell you, we will find real trouble when those that are supposed to be spiritual and are leading the spiritualness of our nation, of our day, of our culture, when they're speaking against the Word of God. I say often, or I try to say often, you know, everything that calls itself Christian is not. And just because someone speaks and uses the name Jesus or says the word God doesn't mean they are. We must be very careful and weigh the balances out and check the balances and compare it to the Word of God. Because there is a religious section in our culture today that would say the same very thing that they said to Jeremiah. And we may be a little bit more civilized in our manner, but it's real. And God said, "Jeremiah, I'll take care of it." And He promised judgment.